future?
And I said, yes. Little Rock, right? And I said, yes. And she couldn't remember my name, so she asked me my name. And unlike Bob, who knows when to ask the right questions, I guess I don't always want to look stupid, like I don't know their name. So I didn't ask her name, even though I couldn't remember her name. And Anita comes by our cart, and instead of introducing Anita, my wife, I told Anita afterward, I couldn't remember her name, so I didn't introduce you. But I remember her name. Her name's Kayla Mounts. She was an EA several years ago out of Little Rock. Good thing about God is he remembers our name when it counts. At the moment. Not a week from now. Not hours from now. God remembers our name, knows our name when it counts. And so God knows what we're about to do. He knows what we're about to say. But he invites us to his throne in the form of prayer. And that's something we take very seriously around here. There are people we need to be praying for. Debbie Shelby, who's a member of this church, is having some real struggles physically right now. Phyllis Mazzini is still having some real struggles physically, health right now. We need to lift them up as well as all the other names on our prayer list. And not just once a week, but throughout the week. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, shall we? Father God, I just want to thank you for another beautiful day. What a gorgeous summer this has been. And you've blessed us so much with so much beauty in this part of the world. It's been kind of fun for me to see people who have come to the Northwest for the first time and some back to the Northwest just commenting about the beauty and knowing inside that, yep, this is God's country. This is the promised land. This is a taste of heaven right here on earth. And so I just thank you for all that beauty that surrounds us, the song of the birds. God, I just want to praise you today because you brought Michael Pride back to us from Iraq. Thank you that you've kept him safe over there in very troubled times, that you put a hedge around him and just brought him back safely. We thank you and praise you for that today. Lord, there are several others on our prayer list that need to know that you love them today. Some of them are fighting the battle physically. Some are fighting the battle financially, relationally, spiritually, and certainly emotionally. God, I just pray today you would wrap your arms of love around them and let them know that they are accepted as they are and that you love them as they are and that their church family here also loves them. Lord, you've been so good to us, and yet we live in a sinful world, and there's things that happen during the course of the week that just kind of latch themselves onto us and drag through the week with us. I just pray that as we enter into this day, this time that you've set aside for us to experience some spiritual rest, that you will enable us to lay those things down at your feet. They'll be there tomorrow. They'll be there Monday. But as for today, may we enter into that special time of relationship with you and that special time of relationship with our loved ones, our family and friends. Just set aside the things of this world this day. Pray your blessing upon each one of us who's here. May you come and may you feed us now. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I was real tempted to make the first slide up there say, he's back. Yeah. And that's okay, because I've said the same thing about when Bob signed on as co-pastor now to all of those that he pastored over at the Olympia Church, sending out a letter saying, he's back. So you guys get just double-barreled here. And I'm really excited about what's in our future. And I'm telling you what, you need to be here through this fall, because we're going to do some things that you are going to marvel at, you're going to shake your head at, and you're going to be amazed at how it's going to impact not only our body of believers, but impact the kingdom of God. And I can't give you the for what's right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to be stuff we haven't really done before. And it's going to be stuff that's going to change lives. And so I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for you to share in it and witness changed lives. But I want to lay the foundation of that whole thing today. And I want to talk about relating to God, but I want to kind of ask you this morning, what is your picture of God? When someone says God, and maybe the picture you grew up with, and so many times we call, you know, God our Father, and so we kind of transpose this figure and picture and feelings of our own father onto God. And that's why a lot of people see God as judge and jury. You know, that he's aloof. You know that song that was so popular a few years ago, From a Distance. You know, that's the picture of God. He's just out there somewhere in the distance and kind of letting us do our own thing, and he's just aloof. He's not real intimately involved. And so that makes him disinterested in what's going on here. And I think one that I grew up, and these people that play this game called situation ethics. Okay? And that's a picture of God waiting to catch you to do wrong. And I literally remember being asked the question, okay, you're driving down the road. Your kid in the back seat is misbehaving. You turn around, smack your kid, and run into a tree and die. Are you saved or are you lost? That is a picture of God who's just waiting for you to do something wrong, and boom, gotcha. Or is your picture of God as being someone who's involved? That while this world appears to be spinning out of control, God is still involved and in control. A God who's concerned, a God who is loving, and a God who is forgiving. I don't know what your picture is this morning, but I want to share with you what my picture of God is this morning. And so to do that, I want to get back to the basics. And I wish Rod Ames was here today. Many of you know him as Harley Rod, who's a member of our church as well. Because Rod is an accountability partner of mine in a way that you would never expect. Rod is an accountability partner in this, that he wants us to know that it's all about love. Love is the foundation of everything we should be talking about here, everything that we should be presenting, that we should be teaching. It's all based on love. Now, you know, Rod's a smart guy. He went to his Bible and he found out that God said, hey, it is all wrapped up in these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your fellow man, your neighbor, as yourself. God said, it's all about love. We focus on the love relationships. We don't want to focus on the negativity. One thing that we've been very, very intentional about over the last few months, several months, maybe the last couple of years, is that we want to focus on the positive things. And that's why in your prayer list, we're not saying, oh Lord, please cure this person of cancer. No, we're not going to give cancer the high billing there. We're going to say, Lord, please restore this person to good health. Please do a miracle in this life. And we're going to focus on the positive things, and that's why with relationships we want to do the same thing. It was really interesting when Jesus was here on this earth in John. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And I can just imagine Thomas standing next to Philip saying, right on. I got to see it to believe it, Lord. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus is expressing his relationship with God the Father. And you know what? I could take the name of Jesus out of this text and I could say Bob. I could say Gary. Any of your names, because we are in the Father and the Father is in you today. That's scriptural. That's not Dennis. Okay? God is in you. And so we have this relationship. You see, God made you. He wired you for relationships. I heard it, somebody said yesterday, you know, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Yes. God has made us needing relationships. And so why do we fight it? You know, why do we try to be the lone wolf? Why do we try to go off in our own corner and do our own things? You know, in Genesis 2:18, God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper, a companion." In Ecclesiastes 4:9, "It's better to have a partner than go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth, and if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough." And I want to tell you, this is my picture of what church is all about. This is a great text for me to support the reason to have church. Because when Michael comes back from Iraq, we can celebrate together. When Michael's over in Iraq, we can pray for him together. When something happens to someone in the church family, we mourn together. That's the way God intended it. God didn't intend us to go through this journey alone. God made us, created us for relationships. And if you don't believe me, take the words of Paul in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 1. "I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, and also for the Christians over in Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone." And I want that to be God's words to you today. You are not in this thing alone. Now, you can choose to try to do it alone, and you can suffer a whole lot more because there's just something there. There's something about when people come together in times of difficulty. I remember when our good friend Jim Collins was in the last weeks of his life. And everyone from this church and from Olympia who had a relationship with him, how they rallied around him and how they were there reminiscing about the good times and praying with him and praying for him. You know, it meant a lot to Jim. But let me tell you what, it meant a whole lot more to Mary, his wife, surviving wife. Those are the times when relationships are revealed, when relationships really come into play. And I know that those relationships have continued to carry Mary through the days since his death. This is the value of church, again, that you are not alone in this journey. Well, there are some relationship builders, and these certainly are not all of them, but you know, when we do a wedding, we tend to stand in front of the couple and we tend to say, "Here's some advice, here's some counsel. Don't make the same mistakes we did." We're calling on experiences and calling on what Scripture says. And one of the things we say is that you have got to take time to get to know each other. And in that getting to know, it's kind of like the butterfly we saw the picture of. Be transparent. Nothing hidden, no lies. And the same holds true with our relationship with God. This is not something that you're not going to come to a knowledge and understanding of who God is just because God slaps you upside the head. You've got to take time to get to know God. Now, how are some of the ways we get to know God? Obviously, through His Word. Okay, His Word, the Bible says, is alive, it's real, it changes for every generation as far as how it impacts that generation and the meaning it comes to that generation. That's what makes it alive. And that is certainly a way that we get to know God. But let me tell you what, you walk outside on a day like today, you hear the birds singing. You smell the fragrances. You see, you know, some of the fruits of the harvest. Which, by the way, those of you who like vegetables, Before you leave us, back there on the kitchen, there's some who have had a lot of harvest this year, and so they've brought it to share with you. So don't go to Safeway, don't go to Top or Freddy's, go to Winworks. Straight from the garden, get your fresh veggies before you leave, and that's for anyone. But we need to take time to get to know each other. And what's really interesting to me is when Anita and I were church shopping, some of the things that we looked for, and it's just, you know, research says this is what goes on in the minds of anybody who's out looking for a church. They walk into a church first time, and they immediately start looking around, seeing if there's anyone like me. That's what you're saying. Is there anyone here like me? So, you know, if you're in the military, you're looking, okay, there's a buzz cut. That must be military, you know. Or if you are a certain age, you're looking for people your age. And, you know, and the research also says that churches attract people who are like them. So you got a couple of baby boomer pastors here. Guess who we're going to attract? By nature, we're going to attract baby boomers. That doesn't mean we don't have a passion, we don't have a heart, we don't have a love for those who are young enough to be our kids, because we have kids and we have that passion for them and we have that love for them. And so, you know, we're headed down that road too. When we get our facility, we're going to have a service, as many of you have been told. We're going to have a second service that's going to be for 35 and under. It's going to be for and by 35 and unders, and that's who we're going to reach out and try to touch in this community, because there's a whole lot of 35 and unders we know that aren't connected to any church. And it's because all the churches around that they visit are run by baby boomers. So we take time to get to know each other, and you be transparent. Communication is talking and listening. I think with God, we've got this communication thing down. Boy, we talk to Him all the time. You know, I hear people who are saying, well, I pray to God all the time. I'm driving down the road, I'm praying to God. We got that part down. I don't think we have the listening part down yet. I think we need to develop and we need to learn better how to listen to that still small voice. Because if we don't hear that still small voice, we'll never be in a position where we can say, here am I, God, send me. Because we're so busy talking over Him. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants us to talk to Him. And that's part of relationship. That's part of friendship. But just think about those of you who are married. If your spouse did all the talking, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. It's like, you know, but. You laugh because you've been in conversations that go that way. You know, I've been in some places, again, probably because I'm a teacher, some people that want to talk finally raise their hand. Can I have a turn? But we need to talk and we need to listen as well. Boy, unselfishness. Unselfishness is a relation builder. When you are thinking of others and putting others before yourself, that builds relationships. Now, that does not mean at the end of the service, I'm going to lay back there in the doorway and let you all walk over me. That's not being unselfish. That's being kind of ridiculous. But, and I'm preaching to myself, okay? Being unselfish translates into how we drive down the freeway. Translates into someone trying to get out of a parking lot on a busy day. Not in front of me! It translates into everything we do. And you all know I'm preaching myself because I am a man possessed behind the wheel. Somehow I learned in my childhood that driving was something to be conquered. When you were going from point A to point B, the object was to get there as fast as you can and as safely as you can. No pit stops. You got to go to the bathroom. You wait till we need gas. You know, this was something to be conquered. But I want you to know my wife has had a positive influence on me. We now stop when someone has to go to the bathroom. Maybe alongside the road, but we stop. No, I'm kidding. We need to look and remember the positive things that happen. And this is something we've been talking a lot about too. When you see people, what is it you look for them in them? Now, I made a statement a little while ago that we could, in my opinion, we could put our names in the answer to Philip. Okay? What do you look for? Do you look for the God, the Christ in other people? Or are you looking for that one mistake? Are you kind of taking into your own personality what some have that picture of God, just waiting for that one mistake and going, aha! I knew you weren't perfect. I knew eventually you were going to cross me. Or are you looking for the positive? Are you looking for the good? Because I'll tell you what, if you're here looking for the negative, you're not going to have to wait a whole long time. It's going to show itself. And somehow, something I say that's mistaken, something someone else says, a look someone gives you, if you're looking for the negative, you're going to find it. But I believe if you're looking for the positive, you're going to find it as well, because it's there. It's there. You know, some would consider it blasphemy to say that there was some good in Adolf Hitler. But there was good in Adolf Hitler. It was there. We don't see it because the evil was so overwhelmingly evident. But there is good in every person. I don't care who that person is. I teach sixth grade. And one of the things we have our sixth graders do, because we're in an elementary setting, which is actually preschool through sixth grade at my school, we have some of our sixth graders be preschool buddies to these little people. Little Lilies running around, little Ashtons running around. And I have seen some of the biggest sixth grade bullies just boom, 180 degree turn when they're with a little person. You would not know it was the same kid. They're kind, they're gentle. They're very, you know, consciously aware of what's going on with this little person. And it is absolutely remarkable. And so we need to look for those positive things, and then we need to remember those positive things. I don't know how many of you are keeping any kind of a journal, a gratitude journal or a prayer journal where prayers have been answered. We need to do that because we need to remember the positive things when those negative things come rolling down our way. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some have said to do. And let us... Relationship's not supposed to be there. Encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is screaming, relationships. Encouraging one another, meeting with one another, spurring one another on. You can't do this to yourself. You know, how many of you have gone to the mirror and said, okay, Dennis, come on, today we can do it. You take two steps out the door and you've done it all right. You stepped right in it. So this just screams relationships. Because that's the way you're wired. That's the way God made you. And it is fundamentally the foundation of everything we need to do, that we are called to do, as Christ followers. He has called us to create relationships. First time I heard this concept was probably 20 years ago, and somebody called it friendship evangelism. Okay? We don't need to take the Bible out and be beating anybody over the head with it. You've heard all the cliches, a sermon in shoes. Your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear your words. That's what it's all about. That's what builds relationships. You see, your value to God is much more than all those bars of gold right there. You are priceless. And I try to tell my sixth graders this. You are priceless. What's the definition of priceless? There has never been... and there will never be another you. And so when something is one of a kind, and that's what makes these master paintings so pricey, is there's only one of its kind. It cannot be replaced. It can never be redone and done again. They're priceless. You are far more priceless. I mean, we can take a whole bunch of old wedding bands, melt them down, and get that. But we can't make another you. And so your value to God is so much more than any of our riches here on this earth. And God says this in Jeremiah 31:3. He says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" God is the same then, back then, today, as he will be forever. And his love has been everlasting. He also says in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You see, God knew you before you were even a twinkle in your parents' eyes, and he was attracted to you long before you were attracted to him. And he has a plan for your life, where God said in Jeremiah 1:5, "I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I knew you before you were in the womb, and I appointed your destination." Now, could Jeremiah have changed that destination? Sure, he could have. But Jeremiah had a relationship with God that included listening. And when God called him to do something, he did it. You guys, we are so busy in this life. We're so busy, it keeps us from coming to church. We're so busy, it keeps us from building relationships with friends. We're so busy, many of us hardly see our spouses or our children. God is calling us to reprioritize what we're doing in this world. Because I'm here to tell you, can you imagine heaven without your spouse? Can you imagine heaven without your child? Without a parent? A sibling? No, we want everyone there because we are created to have relationships, and we have relationships with these people. But if we let everything in this world get in the way, it threatens our relationships. But the good news is in Joshua 1:5, God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's the confidence we can have. Now, I want to share with you what my summer taught me about relationships. And Miss Marguerite, I'm going to ask if you would do me a favor and shut off the light switch that has the blue tape over it, because I'm going to do this with pictures. Now, this is just an interesting way of me showing you a slideshow of how I spent my summer vacation. I just had to prove to you guys that when I wasn't here at church, I really was somewhere and I wasn't home sleeping, okay? What I learned was that relationships make you feel safe. Relationships require walking with another. You can't have relationships by yourself, but not in someone's shadow. Relationships have taught me that there's always room for more. In fact, the more the merrier. Relationships require us to reach out to someone else. Relationships also require accepting instructions. It may be instructions from the Word, it may be instructions from God, it may be instructions from one another. And y'all know that relationships require trust. But relationships also bind families and friends. And if they're not fun, then you need to change your relationships, because relationships are intended to be fun. And I will tell you that relationships require commitment. that, and I learned this early on, relationships are not, should not be cheesy. Well, I'm glad some of you have a sense of humor. As already stated, it takes two to make a relationship. And relationships need to be cultivated. Cultivated into something beautiful. Relationships make you smile. Good news or bad news, relationships can be messy. But I have learned that a good relationship is like a summer sunset, warm and beautiful. And I know that in our relationships here at church, with our families, at wherever we work, that we have got to get back to the basics. And the basics is love. We need to build relationships in love. And love means accepting people where they are, looking for the good, looking for the positive in people. Because when we can do that, this body of people, this body of Christ followers right here, is going to become so attractive to other people because they can feel safe here. They can walk through this door and say, you know what? I'm not going to be judged here. I'm going to be accepted. I'm going to find friendship here. And God is going to start working in the lives. I don't need to go to someone and beat them over the head and say, this is what you need to do. You need to stop doing this bad habit. You need to stop doing that bad. They know it. You know, the book, What's So Amazing About Grace, starts out talking about a prostitute. A prostitute who has a drug addiction. She knew she was a prostitute. She knew she had a drug addiction. She doesn't need some goody-goody Christ follower saying, you're a prostitute. You need to change your ways. You need to quit doing drugs. She knows that. But what she needs is someone to accept her as a daughter of God and say, let me help you. Let me be your friend. And in our friendship, as we take this journey together, let's find a way to get you free from those things you want to be free from. It's a whole different way of doing church. It's a whole different way of letting people know who the God is that you serve. And when we can get there, it's going to be messy. But man, we're going to be so attractive to people. People who already know their lives are screwed up. They don't need anybody telling them their life is screwed up. They need someone accepting them in that condition and helping them out of that condition. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do. And that's going to be the focus. That's going to be our vision as we go through this next school year. We're still hoping and planning on expanding our ministries in different ways that we're going to tell you about in the next few weeks. But please leave here today knowing that it's all about love. Now, the Beatles almost had it right. If they would have said, it all starts with love, I'd be fully on board. And they're real close by saying, all you need is love. Because that is our starting point. And that's what I'm recommitting, rededicating this church to today. We're going to be about love. And then we're going to go from there, and we're going to see what happens where God takes us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for kind of bringing me back to the basics. And I pray that you bring each one of us back to the basics. We're so busy that sometimes we don't share the love that you've given us in proportion to the love you've given us. We're not made to hold it. We're not containers. We want to be sieves. We want this love to just flow through us. And so I pray that you will kind of awaken us. If we're too busy for our families, if we're too busy for a relationship with you, God, we need to reprioritize before it's too late, before we find ourselves all alone. So maybe grab on to that concept of love and march forward from this day forward, and the things that you're going to lead us into this fall that's going to be to your honor and glory, God, I pray we'll be excited about, we'll get on board with it, and can't wait to impact the kingdom of God, because that's what it's all about. You know, our days on this earth are numbered. It's all about the next life. So to that end, I pray you lead us and you guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, I want you to live and to love like you've never lived and loved before. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. And in doing so, love those around you. God bless. I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks. Next week, James is going to be sharing the word with you, and I know it's going to be good. It always is. So I hope you're here, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with some stuff that we're going to start talking and announcing about where we're headed. So God bless you. Have a great day. Lord willing, we'll see you. The weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day, and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me, saying, Dad, I need you. There's a ball at the castle, and I've been invited. And I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I